to each and every one. I'm just moving this a bit. It's a bit of a twist on it. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one of you this morning. We give everyone a warm welcome in their service. And Sister Carol's away in Australia. May the Lord bless her and David. And some others are perhaps missing that well, and Matthew and different ones. But the Lord bless those that's here. Praise God. I want us this morning to turn to Malachi, and we all know these scriptures well, but I just felt really strongly to bring these scriptures again. And so many people are preaching about a coming of a spirit of Elijah, coming on a group, and different things about it, and so many people mix up the fourth coming of the Spirit of Elijah with the fifth coming of the Spirit of Elijah. And we know there's five comings of the Spirit of Elijah according to the Bible. And I really want this morning, with the Lord's help, to talk about Elijah before the second, the first and second coming of the Lord. And I believe it's for a reason. Amen. Let's read Malachi 4. Verse 1, and the Lord bless each and every one. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be as stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, when I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let us bow our heads again. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the authority of your precious word. Lord, we do come from thy footstool into your presence this morning, in and through the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we know that your servant said that even if a man's called to preach, that he should never stand up to do it until he's received the Holy Ghost. Lord, your disciples were told to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Now, Lord, I take by faith that promised Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. Lord, bless all that's been prayed for this morning. We, James, Matthew, for any others that are sick or laid aside this morning, we ask you'll touch every one of them. We thank you for how you've touched your brother Keith. Yes. We pray you continue to bring him to full and complete recovery and strengthen health in Jesus Christ's name. Strengthen her sister Eileen. Grant her your grace and your strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, for any unspoken needs this morning, as even been prayed, meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Just maybe say that. Praise God. I know that we're very familiar with these scriptures, but I really felt led to bring this morning. I believe only the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, can place the truth of God's words in our hearts. We cannot just surmise to know something. It has to be from God. And I believe today many people are taking scriptures. There's groups on their preaching that we're literally Israel. Not spiritual, but literal Israel. And they're preaching we're literal Israel, and they're preaching about the spirit of Elijah, and they're mixing up all the scriptures. They're mixed up. It's wrong. And even Clarence Larkin himself took this scripture here, and he knew there was the coming of the spirit of Elijah, and he placed it as to Elijah to Israel. And he was wrong. Absolutely wrong. But we're promised before the coming of the Lord, the coming of the spirit of Elijah. Now many people say, well, we do what will it do? What's it for? Well, it's in this Bible for a reason. And if God has put something in the Word of God, it's for a purpose and for a reason. It's not just there. And people say, well, we do we need to hear about it at all? And in some places, they'll be happy enough if you never mentioned it at all. But yet with all, when you hear some of the things they are preaching, and people's listening to it, it's absolutely false. First, I want to show you this morning something about a word here, what we've read from verse 6. And in verse 6 you read a word, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So God is saying that he's going to send the spirit of Elijah before the great and dreadful, terrible day of the Lord, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And when you take that word curse, it's one of the hardest terms in all of Scripture. And when you look at that word in Hebrew, it suggests a complete annihilation. That's what it suggests. Now I want to quote to you from Brother Leon Long this morning, a statement he made, and it's quite powerful, and I believe he wrote one of the best books on the spirit of Elijah. Clearly the word is to become so full, the world is to become so full of wickedness that God would be obliged to curse the earth entirely unless he sent first Elijah. This prophecy was made more than 400 years after Elijah the Tishbite was walking in the earth. So God is saying, if I don't send the spirit of Elijah, I will curse this earth. So God had sent the spirit of Elijah, and you know when the spirit of Elijah came, it was like Jesus himself. You know when Jesus came, the religious leaders didn't run out and say, "Hi, Rabbi, we know thee, that you're the Son of God." That never happened. You don't read that. They didn't even know. This is what they said. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what they said. They said he's a Beelzebub. That's what they said. And Jesus said, if this be done in a green tree, what will be done in a dry tree? And if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, Jesus said, how much more will they call his servants? Now you know there's promise the coming of the spirit of Elijah here to turn the hearts before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers. Two turnings of separate times. So if Gary hears his voice with them, if those boys' hearts are to turn to their father, that's one thing. But if Gary's heart's to be turned back to his father, that's a different thing. Now maybe I'm saying it wrong. Let me say it again. If your heart is turned back to the fathers in a day gone by, that's one thing. But if the people of that time's hearts turn forward, that's another thing. And many understand that. I'm going to say it again, because it's difficult. See, people say to me, we never hear certain things preached. We don't understand it. And yet you can preach it, and they still don't understand it. Now that's not the fault of the preacher, that's take the Holy Ghost. Oh, you'll never see it. And you could be sitting and saying, well, we know all these things, you might, but you could be surprised somebody else doesn't. And yet you might know it and think it never needs preached, but there could be other people don't know it. And it does need preached. There's two turnings here. John the Baptist came, and John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and I'll prove that from the Bible. But yet his name wasn't Elijah. And when you say that people, William Branham came in the spirit of Elijah, they'll say his name's William Branham, not Elijah. Well, John the Baptist's name wasn't Elijah. It was John the Baptist, but he came in the spirit of Elijah. But yet his name was John. And John the Baptist did not turn the people's hearts back. He turned their hearts forward. I want you to get this. John the Baptist turned their hearts forward to the Messiah. To the coming Messiah. He turned their hearts forward to the coming Messiah, which was Jesus. Now John the Baptist never restored nothing, because if John the Baptist was restored, he'd have brought in Moses' law again. Because he couldn't restore Calvary, for it hadn't happened. He couldn't restore Pentecost, for it hadn't happened. But John was turning them forward to the coming message. He went further. He said,
what's happened
and what's future. Because you have a comma in here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come, comma, and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already. And they knew him not. Now, hold that thought. If Jesus, and he is the word, if Jesus said they didn't know Elias when he came, don't be surprised in the 20th century we're living in the last church age, if they don't know him when he comes again. Because if they didn't know him, even when Jesus preached to tell them, do you think, Mary, you could preach it better? No. They couldn't. But just as they didn't know it then, they'll not know it now. There was only a few that knew it. How many agrees with what I'm saying here? These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, but have done unto him whatsoever they list is, likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer them. Now not only did they not know the one that came in the spirit of Elias, but they didn't even know Jesus. And you know what they did with John? They had his head cut off because he preached against adultery. John lost his head because he preached against adultery. Can you imagine if he preached it hard, the devil would have? Because this country's full of it. Not only is it full of adultery, it's full of homosexuality. I noticed, and I'm going to mention this, people might hear this, and I make no apologies for it, but there's this new thing, I can't pronounce it, vegan, is it? Vegan. Vegan. Vegan won't eat the pig, and they won't eat the cow, and they won't eat this, and they won't eat that. Right? That's alright. They want to be a vegan, that's fine. But don't you preach to me that that cow's a soul and that pig has a soul. And then from the same lips promote abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Don't do it. No. That's absolute hypocrisy. Yes. To the highest order.
Right.
Condemning the eating of a pig and condemning the eating of a cow and promoting abortion.
Yes.
Now the Bible says that there will be doctrines come in the last days, but we're to be world. One of them is forbidding to marry, and forbidding to eat meats is another one, and Paul told us they will come, and their doctrines are devils. So when Mr. Vegan tells you don't eat this and don't eat that, where did this doctrine come from? And yet from the same lips promotes abortion. And won't condemn it, that it's murder. And that's the height of hypocrisy. What there is today. And a pig and a cow doesn't have a soul like a man and a woman. And I tell you why. Because this book of Genesis is an absolute authority. And it says that you and me, man is made in the image of God, not a pig or a cow. Image of God. How many can say amen?
Amen.
But you and me is made in the image of God. Not a pig and a cow. And if you want a good slice of either of them, as long as you pray over either way, that's the Bible. Paul says that.
Amen.
How many agrees with that?
Amen.
But you see, the day we're living in, people will tell you, well, you can't do this. There's a whole big thing about it. I don't know if you realize how big this is. There's a whole big thing about this. It's everywhere. They're doing programs. They're out on the streets with tracks and everything all about this. They're showing farmers, and apparently every farmer in the country is hammering pigs and cows. And he told them, you'll name them. Not the Bible. And he said, you're in charge now. Do them what you will. It's not the word of God. My Bible says it. And that doesn't mean you be cruel. We're not promoting your cruel animals. We don't believe that. But they're here for us to eat. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to eat them. Not that light morning and a good lump of beef or chicken or whatever. And if you fancy a bit of a pig, as long as you pray over either way. But yet we're all on that one word against abortion. And they'll have some wee fellow on us, not left, right, left, school. Or some wee girl, wet behind the ears that doesn't know what it's talking about, up promoting abortion. And trying to tell people that's three times his age, all of it life when it knows nothing about it. That's the truth. But that spirit of Elijah, they never knew who Jesus was. And Jesus preached here that they didn't recognize the spirit of Elijah when it came. They didn't know it. They didn't know it was John. They thought John was just some fella from the wilderness preaching. Been excited. But he was God's man. You remember John wasn't just an ordinary fella. In the sense of the word. Because his mother was John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That's John. I can't read you nobody else but it reads like that. Can you? I can't read it nowhere else but it reads like that. But I can read you that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Now, these verses speak of two prophets in the spirit and power of Elijah. Verse 3, the disciples understood spoke of John. However, verse 11 and 12 speak of two prophets, the spirit and power of Elijah. Jesus says, restore all things. And I've told you, John didn't do that. John never restored all things because John would have had it brought back in Moses' law and he didn't do that. Amen. He pointed you to Jesus and he left it there.
Amen.
That's what he done.
Amen.
Now I want you to understand that John pointed to Jesus and that was his message. And this last day messenger is to point us back to the original apostolic faith. And that must be important that God sending that to do that. They must have lost it. Then look when it came. People took his message and they're still not doing it with it. They're still not doing it. They're bringing in stages and this and that. And the simplicity is back to Pentecost.
Yes.
Back to the Holy Ghost. Of it all. And you need the Holy Spirit in these last days. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you will be deceived, let me tell you. You need the Holy Spirit because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will bring an anointing on you which will teach you all things. The sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads the true church, not the Pope. The Holy Ghost. To bring back into existence youth. To bring back to the former more. See, never did it. Now let me read you this from Question and Answers. And you notice to make it sure, but the Holy Spirit wrote it by the prophet. He said, he will turn the hearts of the fathers first to the children, say. That was John's first coming. He turned the hearts of fathers, the old patriotic fathers, to the message of the children. So the old patriotic fathers, which were under Moses' law, heard a message that was telling them something new's come. There's one greater than this. He's standing amongst you. That was John preached. And you know what John preached? Not only did John preach that, but when John saw Jesus coming, and the Spirit of God being on him, John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes.
This was John introducing the new message. The New Testament was coming in. The new message.
Yes,
and John was in the spirit of Elijah to do that. That's absolutely the Bible. He turned the hearts of fathers, the old patriarch fathers, to message of children. Which was a new generation then, Jesus and that generation. Their junction is time to gather the hearts of the children back to the fathers, which means the message of the day. So the hearts of the children back to the fathers. So John didn't turn the hearts back to the fathers. John turned them forward to Jesus. But in our generation, in our day, the spirit of Elijah's promised for this Bible to come again. To turn our hearts back to the fathers, and our fathers, our spiritual fathers, is Pentecost. That's where the church began. And I tell you, when you really think of it, William Branham said, no man should preach until he receives the Holy Ghost, even if he's a call of God. Even if he's called, he shouldn't do it until he's got the Holy Ghost. So I believe it's clear. Let's turn the heart of the children in the church back to the original Pentecostal faith at the beginning, so it will be two different, one messenger, but different times. First coming, second coming, or messengers Elijah. Look at Matthew 17:11. Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. That's the one that came in our day. Not John. But I'm staying with John for a bit. And I'm going to run you through this Bible. And I want you to see John. Because people say, these things are not in the Bible. I'll stand with any man and show them it's in the Word of God. But some of the things they're preaching is not. It's not in it. And they're taking titles of different things. It's not in the Bible. You can't find it. But these things are in the Word of God. In verse 12 of Matthew 17, Jesus, the Son of God, when he was here with his disciples on earth, here's what he said. But I say unto you that Elijah, Elias, and you know Elias was a man, but the spirit of Elijah came on Elias. We know that. Now there's one thing I want you to notice, and I'm not going to go to it, but if you went to the book of Kings, you would see that the spirit of Elijah is a heart-turning spirit. And Elisha was with Elijah, and Elisha said to Elijah, Elijah said, what will I do for you? And he says that a double portion of your spirit be in me. And Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me when I go up, when I go, that I will grant to you a double portion of my spirit. And you know, when you follow the Bible, that Elisha was one miracle short of the double miracles that Elijah done. And he died. And people said, and the old skeptics said, well, there he was one short. But they took his bones, they threw a dead man one day on his bones. They tried to hide a dead man, and they threw him on Elijah's bones, and he come to life. And that was double miracles. God never makes a mistake. But some smart fellow thought, said God was late. It's never late. Everybody knows that's the Bible. Everything in the Bible is 100% correct. Jesus was saying to the disciples that the people failed to recognize or understand, or could it be said, they had no revelation that John the Baptist had come in the spirit of Elijah. They didn't see it. And look at the angel of the Lord told Zacharias, Elizabeth would bear a son and he would be called John. Luke 1 verse 13 to 17. Luke 1 verse 13 and verse 17. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayers heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. He's not called Elijah. See, a smart aleck can tell you this. His name's not Elijah. But when Jesus takes this word and shows you that he came in that spirit, you'd better sit up and take notice. That's why your opening reading says, behold. Behold means pay attention. Waking up. Look up. Behold. God's wanting to say something. Verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. So the heart of the fathers forward to the children. But it doesn't say back. That's for another time. So Jesus is showing them from the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I don't care. It's fivefold ministry, but the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and so forth, and the gifts, all of it must compare to the Bible. Can't be showing it's not in right here. And Jesus is saying to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord's first coming. This is what this is about. That was John's ministry. Now you know all the time John's ministry lasted. It wasn't long, sure it wasn't. The man died in his 30s. Because what was it between him and Jesus? 6 months? A few months? Maybe not. It was a few months. And Jesus was crucified at 33 and a half years old. Is that right? So John was, couldn't have been much difference in age. I'm telling you, God can use someone, and that's it. And when he's done his job, it's gone on. People think the Lord can use someone. No. God can have a purpose for someone and plays his part, that's it. Notice it only fulfilled part of the turning back. What to do? To turn the hearts of fathers to the children, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1, 17. Who are the fathers? Those who worship in God under Moses' law, and the hearts sincere before God, keeping the law of God, but not knowing the grace of God through Jesus our Lord, and they didn't know it. They were worshiping God sincerely under Moses' law, but they did not know the grace that was coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was saying there's a greater message coming than what you have now. And this greater message, it's even amongst you. If only you could see it, it's amongst you. Wouldn't you think that all have seen it? He's going about healing the sick, raising the dead, and John's preaching it. And he comes down for John to be baptized. And John says, I can't do it. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, that all scripture might be fulfilled. And God wants every word fulfilled. So don't ever say, we don't need to hear that. If it's in this Bible, you need to hear it. It's for a purpose and a reason. Amen. Turn back to go back. Listen, the Old Testament fathers received John the Baptist as a voice crying in the wilderness. Turn back to go back. Like if you get lost, you go back to the starting point. Now John never turned him back, he turned him forward. But God is saying in this day, and God is saying in this generation, that you need to hear what the Spirit of Elijah said. And the Spirit of Elijah at this end time, before the coming of Jesus Christ, according to Malachi 4, 5 and 6, is to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. To turn us back to what? Pentecost. Why is it then? Answer me why it is that so many people condemn Pentecost. It's the Antichrist spirit, which the same Bible said would be here. Paul said, no doubt he's even now amongst you. Ministers transform as angels of light. And I told you, and you know, sitting in these chairs as Jesuits that have infiltrated the churches, even the message churches. And I can say boldly, I've seen them. And I'm not joking about it. And I could name you others, not in other circles, what are Jesuits. And how you know the Jesuits is, if they tell you the Reformation was a mistake, and if they tell you that what God done is a demon, you know that's a Jesuit spirit right there. That's not God. God's the one that brought about the Reformation. And I want you to know this morning that Martin Luther was a messenger sent from Almighty God. And I believe what Martin Luther done and said. And God had to do it. And God will not bring you out of a system to bring you back into another one. God will bring you out to bring you into himself. Because the whole thing is that God's chosen place of worship is where he puts his name, and he puts his name in his Son, and his Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you meet in Christ. No dogma, but Jesus Christ. he is against the real original Pentecostal blessing, watch him. Because Brother Branham's not against it. This Bible's not against it. The Spirit of Elijah's to turn you to it. Not to an organization, but to the real original apostolic faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's what it came for, to turn us back. Back to the original. Now I believe men like George Jeffries and other men had that. We might agree with every single little doctrine they had, but they had some great stuff. There's no question about it. And you'll agree with me today, if they were here today and having a service, you'd attend it, wouldn't you? I would. Amen. Yes. Them was men of God. But you see, people have forgot what God's done. They forgot how God moved. They forgot a man like Martin Luther that was a monk of the Augustine order that did everything and could never find peace with God. How that God supernaturally enlightened that man is an absolute miracle of grace. And God brought him out. And oh, thank God for the 95 theses that he nailed on the door of Wittenberg. And one of them was that he announced the Pope. You don't have to believe in him. But men today are telling us that was all a mistake. And they're even preaching it's a demon. I want to tell you that one of the men that's doing it, there's a brother had tapes of him that another man gave him. And he can tell you, I heard them one day in his car as we were driving along. And we didn't get far into the message. And I said, brother, that man is a false prophet. Do you know why? Because he said, Jesus was lost in hell and needed to get saved. That's what he preached. I want you to know this morning in this meeting that Jesus Christ knew no sin. And he had no sin. And hell couldn't even hold it. For he plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Glory to God. He never went to hell to save himself, but he went to hell to save me and you. Death had no claim on him. The Bible says he broke the bars asunder. And he rose triumphant. I believe they were spiritual. How many knows what I'm saying? He tore them open. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he rose triumphant over the foe. I tell you, when people start to tell you that Jesus maybe just wasn't good enough, you know there's another spirit on it. When a man preaches Jesus and leaves him on the floor, he's not for me. Because one of my favorite verses, you should know it. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And I tell you, John pointed to Jesus. And I want you to know that this man that would come to the Gentiles, which we know was William Murray and Branham in the spirit of Elijah, he never once said, preach William Branham. He never once said, lift William Branham up. He never said, I'm somebody and you're nobody. He said, I point you to Jesus Christ. Amen. I point you to Jesus Christ. He's the one. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. This is John. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert, the highway for our God. That's for John. You see the scriptures for John. People say, we don't see the scriptures for it. The Bible's full of it. Isaiah 40 and 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The ministry of John the Baptist is confirmed as a voice crying in the wilderness. Now, I don't want to go through all these gospels because the time's going. And I'm only getting started, really. But I'm not going to hold you as long. Don't worry about that. But in every single gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew, again. We'll just take Matthew 3 and 3. I won't take the rest of it, but you can write down Mark 1 and 3, Luke 3 and 4, John 1, 23. You're going to read near enough the same thing. Here's what it is. Matthew 3, 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, did you hear what it said? Isaiah the prophet prophesied of John coming. Jesus. Amen. Hold on for the Bible. I want to tell you that the whole Old Testament was pointing forward to Christ, and the whole New Testament is pointing back to Christ. And the whole Old Testament is pointing forward to Calvary, and this message is to turn us back to Pentecost so that we can appreciate our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Pentecostal blessing. Not so that we worship any man, so that we appreciate the Lord. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. If you look at Matthew 11, verse 2 and verse 13, 14. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, verse 13, 14. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. You hear me? They prophesied until John. In other words, John was a step into the New Testament. John was the voice, the last voice before you're into the New Testament. John was the one to introduce the New Testament, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. John was the one. Amen? He was showing you that you no longer need the law of Moses. You no longer need these things, but I am pointing you to the Messiah. And I must decrease and he must increase. This is a greater message, he was saying. More complete. And you know it says they weren't made perfect without us. Do you know the difference in the Old Testament and the New? The Old Testament never could clear the conscience, because it's only a chemistry. There's no life. The blood of the Old Testament animals is a chemistry, but not a life. How many is understanding this? That is why Paul says, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. When Jesus shed his blood, it wasn't just a chemistry, there was a life. The life of God was released back to the church. That's why Pentecost is so important. That's so important. That we go back to the place where the church began. Because God the Father promised he would send the Holy Spirit on his people. And it should be no strange thing if people forgot about it. And they say, we don't really need to preach about it or talk about it. Well, that's not the Bible. But just preach the gospel. This is part of it. This is the gospel. Don't just put the gospel to one wee bit like this. It can be part of it, but the gospel's all of it. Because that's what the disciples preached. Somebody knows that. John the Baptist was a wilderness man, uneducated, but called and predestined to be a prophet from his mother's womb, and come in the spirit of Elijah. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Luke 1, 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that's the words of Jesus, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's forward. And it doesn't mention back, because that's another time. And the obedience to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We know holy men of God speak as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? The Holy Spirit has to move a man. Now you can move yourself if you want. But when the Holy Ghost moves you. Amen. Isn't it still true? When the Holy Ghost can move a man. You know you can come in a service and you just feel nothing at all. You know that you don't think anything of it. But yet with all the Spirit of God can move you, not me. Cause you to bring a prophecy or tongues or whatever. But look what it says. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moved them to speak. Isaiah was moved to say, John's coming. And he'd been the spirit of Elijah. Now he's not Elijah the teacher, right? And he's not Elias. But the same spirit that was on Elijah and on Elias will be on him. And you remember through all this, even saying all this, remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah appeared before Jesus, with Jesus, and Moses as well. So Elijah's not dead. But yet that spirit can come. 1 Peter 1, verse 10 to 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied in the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is was in them, did signify. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. When it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. What did they preach it unto you with? Some organization? No. With the Holy Ghost. Sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. Ain't that so? A prophet, why is a man called and ordained of God, has to be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to get that. There's no such thing as any prophet being some sort of superior in the sense of he doesn't need saved or he doesn't need the Holy Spirit. You can't preach that. A prophet is a man like you and me, but he's a man chosen. He's ordained to be a prophet, but he still needs saved. He still needs filled with the Holy Spirit. But he's God's man. God's special chosen man. And you have to be careful that you don't go against God's prophet. Because the Bible says, the better for you, a millstone was put round your neck and you cast into the sea. Do my servants nor my prophets no harm. And that's for any prophet. If a man's a real prophet of God. And you see the day people are coming out and they're saying things about God's prophets, and it's dangerous talk. I'm telling you. Yet withal, they call God's move a demon. Do you see what I'm saying? It's another spirit. It's the infiltration of another spirit. You know what's behind it? The God of this evil age. But you remember there's two spirits at work, the Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit. And there is the spirit of obedience and there's the spirit of disobedience. And they're all here today. And remember that Colossians tells us this is man's day. This is the day of the glorification of man. This is this day. What they call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. You never thought, I guarantee you, some of you never thought when you were like these, we boys or girls here, that you would ever see a day when a man, two men would marry and two women. You never thought you'd see the day. But it's here. It's here. It's right down to like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember when I read you what our brother Liam Long said? He says, God would wipe it out. Only send the spirit of Elijah for a warning. And that's the last one to the Gentile church just before the rapture goes. We are living in the last of the last days. Jesus Christ is coming again. God has sent us a super sign. This is a warning of God's done. And I know maybe I'm jumping ahead and maybe not following everything, but you know God vindicated what he done. God vindicated it. You try and do it, you say, you can't. It has to be God. How many knows that? You can't just go out and do things. It has to be God. God vindicated what he done. He knew the very secrets of people's hearts. He was able to tell people. One man with cancer in his lungs, given up to die, sitting behind a wall. And that man, under the spirit of Elijah, told him his very name. Now, that's God. And he said, you go home and be well. I tell you, God did that. Another young woman, and she was dressing in tight jeans and everything, and that prophet never said one thing to her, but he didn't agree with it. And you know he blasted all them things women dressing and all them things. But he prayed for them. And that young woman, being a young woman, her whole worm and everything come out. She's in a terrible shape. And that man of God prayed for her. And God completely healed her. And her husband was coming home from work and he saw the fire going. And he said, why would the fire be going at this time of the day? It's warm. And he said to the wife, he said, honey, why is the fire going? She says, I've burnt all my trousers. I'll never wear them again. And he never preached a word to her about it. But the Holy Ghost come on that woman. And Brother Branham said, he said, when the Holy Spirit came on the women in Africa, when we're running about naked, he said the first thing they did was cover their nakedness. He says, now don't tell me that that's the Holy Spirit today and these nominal church goings that's getting people to strip off. He says, that's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will make you dress like a man and dress like a woman. It won't strip you off like the world. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it'll make you act correctly. Now we know the day there's an unholy spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's an unclean spirit. And it's prophesied in these last days. And it's here. It's in the world today. It influences everything around us. It tries to influence our own homes. Everything. But the Holy Spirit brings about God's order. And it's not so much that you go and hummer down somebody's throat to preach it. He never did that. The Holy Spirit did. You have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come on that young man. For the Holy Spirit to come on that young woman. Hummering them with quotes doesn't do it. We've saw people that did that. It never worked. It turned people away. You have to get in a secret place and get before God and ask for the token to come upon that man, to come upon that woman, that the Holy Spirit will come on them, that the Holy Spirit will do the work, because we couldn't do it. We were as guilty as that. Paul says that. Paul says some of us were fornicators, some of us were adulterers, but now we're in Christ Jesus. And even sometimes you try to talk to people, they go back in your life and say, well, look what you used to do. And they're right. We did do things. But you see, the Lord saved us, redeemed us, forgive us. But it's only the Holy Spirit can open somebody's eyes. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to move in our loved ones. Don't condemn them. Don't just jump on them. It won't work. I'm telling you, I know what I'm preaching about this morning. I've seen it. I know people personally, and they jumped on people. And what they were saying was true, but it was the wrong way it was done. You know, William Branham said in one place that he'd rather have a man with the right spirit, even if he's wrong in his doctrine, than a man with the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. How many knows he said that? That's just a lesson. There's a way and things has to be done. Amen? And I'm going to have to come to close. The time's going. I won't go on. I'm going to close because the time's going. I'm not even just getting into it. But let's believe God for the Holy Spirit. God sent the spirit of Elijah to tell the people the Messiah is coming. Prepare your hearts. And God sent the spirit of Elijah again in these last days to tell me and you, Jesus is coming again. The coming of the Lord's at hand. And we need to get back to the Pentecostal blessing, the apostolic faith, to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, like the book of Acts, to preach it the way they preached it, to pray and lay hands on the sick, to expect God when we preach this message, that God confirm His word, the signs, wonders following in the name of His holy child Jesus. That's the book of Acts. To get into the secret place, to pray for our loved ones. The Holy Spirit will move on that young man, move on that young woman. All of us that have children this morning, I'm sure you'll agree with me. My heart goes out to every one of them. I want to see them saved. But I know that God will have to do it. I can't meet them and thunder it down. It doesn't work like that. It has to be God. But God can do it. God can certainly lead you to say something. There's no doubt about that. We believe that. But it has to be God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. If you're in need this morning, look, if this is the truth which has been preached, then would God not confirm it even this morning? Then if you're in need this morning, the same God that wrote this word, surely He can confirm it again. You just lift your hand up to the Lord if you're in need this morning. We're going to pray. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You that Your word is the truth. It's the absolute. Lord, we don't need to add to it or take from it. It is the truth. We can recognize what You've done. We know it was You. It couldn't be anyone else. Lord, we recognize Your presence, Your word, the fulfillment of the day we're living in, the wickedness abounding. But Lord, we see Your mercy. We're asking, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Mercy for our sons, mercy for our daughters, mercy for all that's near and dear to every one of us in this house this morning. Lord, remember them, we pray, and have mercy upon them. Send the Holy Spirit upon them. Open their eyes and open their understanding. Reveal to them the need of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for the hand that's been raised. Lord, if this is the truth, then Lord, You confirm it. You bring it to pass. Then it'll be exactly with Your word. For Lord, You have promised to be with us. You've said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You've said, though I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, or the consummation, when the righteous step out of the ashes. Lord, this after the millennium reign, right at the end, we'll still be with You, Lord. But oh Lord, You're coming for Your people again. You've warned us by the Spirit of Elijah to get back to the Pentecostal blessing, back to the Holy Spirit, back to the apostolic faith, back to the book of Acts, back to the true word of God. Oh Lord, help us to only preach these true things, Your word, nothing else, Lord Jesus. Father, bless everyone in this room. Bless my brother, bless my sister. Lord, save every boy, save every girl. Lord, for families and loved ones that's near and dear to every one of us this morning. Lord, if You were to come and the word saved to be left. But oh Lord, we're asking You'll reach them, You'll save them, You'll deliver them. Speak to them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Heavenly Father, move especially to the young ones and even in the services. Deepen their understanding. Give them revelation of these things, that their understanding will know that these things are true, that You're coming again. And we need the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, I pray. Lord, let the song say, oh for the new anointing, oh for the heavenly flame, oh for the scent of inward peace, oh that Thy glory might increase. Oh, Savior, anoint us now. Father, for those that need a healing in their body this morning, touch those feet, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I curse every ailment. I ask that the blood will flow normal, that every, Lord, infirmity, that every ailment in the bloodstream will go in the name of Jesus Christ. That the levels of the sugar and the oxygen in every cell will be normal in Jesus Christ's name for complete deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, You said how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel and bring good news. Lord, touch that back today. Every sinew, every disc, every vessel, touch and heal in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, grant it in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, I ask You again for Brother Keith.
Yes.
Lord, I pray this day he'll know Your mighty presence.
Yes.
Upon his body, upon his life, Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As a brother Gary comes, God bless. And let's not forget the service tonight. God bless each one.
Nothing like him gives us that faithfulness.